Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 24. Now I know why I was supposed to just take my time and do this today. Book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 24. Just want to encourage your faith this morning. Amen. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That's a powerful statement there, because the man was trying, he wanted so desperately to see his son healed. And you got to understand the picture that's going on here. Jesus has just been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, where he literally turned just a pure white, glistening glory of God. He was transformed into his future self, and Moses and Elijah was with him, and he had this encounter with God to the point that Peter couldn't restrain himself anymore. And it says that he didn't know what else to say. You know, sometimes when you don't know what else to say, probably we ought to just be quiet. But Peter didn't know what else to say. So he said, Lord, it's a good thing for us to be here. Amen. I feel that way when the presence of God becomes so amazing and the glory of God. We've been experiencing that in some of our pastor prayer meetings, the presence of God just coming so heavy that there's been times that I thought I was going to have to carry some of them out of the office, and just the presence and glory of God. Now it's beginning to happen in their churches, and it's just beginning to spread and move. Praise God. But when you've been in the presence of God, Peter said, it's a good thing for us to be here. And he didn't know what else to say, so he said, hey, let's build three temples and let's stay right here. I'm not sure if those three temples were for the visiting host or for Peter, James, and John. I'm not real sure. But he wanted to stay right there, but Jesus didn't come for that purpose. He came to redeem us. He came to change us. He came to break the power of sin. There's a song the worship team sings that I love this one phrase. It says, the nations will enter holding broken chains over their heads. Amen. The broken chains of the enemy that has bound us, that has tried to restrain us, has tried to keep us held captive, but the chains are breaking. Hallelujah. We're seeing the chains breaking in nations. I've been talking to a young man in Pakistan, and he is absolutely convinced that I'm supposed to be there ministering. And I keep telling him that God hadn't sent me to Pakistan yet. But he messages me all the time saying, we are fasting and praying for you to come to Pakistan. And there's a revival that's starting to break out in Pakistan. Even though it's a Muslim-controlled nation, yet there's a move of the Spirit of God. People are being saved. And he sent me a video the other day of a big youth meeting. And there was all these teenagers packed in this auditorium, and they were praying and seeking God because they'd been changed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He sent me another video of this huge gathering, 75,000 people gathered for a time for a prayer meeting and ministry. 75,000 people in Pakistan gathered in a field, and the authorities tried to arrest them and tried to stop it, but they were unable to do so, and God visited that place. Listen, there is chains breaking over nations and over people, over churches, and right here in the United States of America, I hear the chains breaking. Hallelujah. I hear the chains falling because there is anointing of the finisher that is beginning to happen in this country, and people are beginning to press out of the bondage and out of the circumference of our comfort, and we're beginning to pray for tents, and we're beginning to move, we're beginning to move out of our comfort, and we're beginning to say yes, Lord, to the things that God is asking us to do. Hallelujah. And there are change breaking. We're going to begin to see whole communities having a move of the presence of God. We're going to see churches come alive. You say, but that's not what we're in. Listen, I have battled for years, ever since I was a young preacher. God showed me a vision. He took me on a journey. I spent a whole night traveling with God all around this world. He showed me what's happening right now and has been happening for years. I saw oceans of dark-skinned people being touched with the presence and power of God. That's why I keep a big picture of Reinhard Bonnke's meeting where there was several million people, and there was a million people saved in that one meeting, because in my early 20s, I saw it, I witnessed it. I went there with God, and I witnessed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we are experiencing that today like we've never experienced it before, and it's going to continue, because this is not about what the politicians do. This is about what the church does. This is about what the people of God do. This is about the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, when Ahab tries to get in the way of Elijah, there's some bad things happen. When Jezebel begins to declare that she's going to destroy the body of Christ, there's some bad things happen. And I want to tell you something. Elijah has come out of the cave, wiping the darkness from his eyes with an anointing on him and a commission to anoint people and establish. There is an outpouring and an outgoing of the presence and anointing of God. Ahab said, "Are you the one?" When he met Elijah, Elijah was looking for him. He was looking for Elijah. And he finally saw him after 3 years of drought, and he said, "Are you the one that troubles Israel?" And Elijah spoke back. He was a lot nicer than David would have been. Elijah spoke back and he said, "I'm not the one troubling Israel. You are the one that's troubling Israel." Hallelujah. But what was it that Elijah did? He said, "Oh, you might as well have you a dinner. You might as well just relax for a minute, because I'm going to pray." I got to tell you something. Elijah went up and knelt down with his face to the ground, and he kept telling his servant, "Go see, go see, go see." His servant kept coming back and saying, "There's nothing. The vote didn't go our way. There's nothing happening. It doesn't seem like anything's taking place." And all of a sudden, on the seventh time, the servant came back and he said, "All I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand." And Elijah jumped up and said, "That's it. It's time for the body of Christ to begin to see the signs of God," and jump up and say, "That's it. That's it." That's all Elijah needed. He just needed a little cloud the size of a man's hand. And he jumped up and he said, "All right, we've got it. We've got the answer. We've got it." And he outran his horses. I'm sure Ahab was whipping them horses saying, "Let's go." But Elijah outran him. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to tell you something. The devil thinks he might have knocked me down and took a lot of strength out of my body. That infection that invaded my legs and ate on my muscles and all the stuff that I've had to go through. The devil thinks he might have got me down. But I got to tell you something. I'm liable to outrun the horses here in just a little bit, because there's an anointing of God that is healing and breaking the chains. Hallelujah. Don't count me out because I'm old and fat. Hallelujah. Glory. What was I preaching on? Hallelujah. Glory. There's a breakthrough that is taking place right now, and a lot of people don't see it because they're blinded. They got their eyes, Brother Casey talked about it this morning, they got their eyes down low when Jesus said, lift up your eyes. When Paul said, lift up your eyes, lift up, lift up, lift up to where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Get your eyes on what Jesus is doing. Oh, Lord, I want to see what you're doing. I want to hear what you're saying. And I want to do what you're doing. I want to say what you're saying. I want you to manifest yourself. Hallelujah. Jesus come down off of the mount, and he was still glistening with the presence of God. You got to see this picture. I mean, here Jesus comes down. I mean, they just had quite an experience, and Jesus was still glistening. He was still glowing with the presence of God as he walked back into the degraded, downcast part of society where problems were overwhelming, where needs were beyond our control, where people were suffering in ways they couldn't help, and a little boy was being tormented by demon spirits, and the father's heart was aching, and all of a sudden the glistening, glowing power of God walked right in and said, what's going on? What are you talking about? And immediately this father said, my boy has a deaf and dumb spirit. In other words, he couldn't talk and he couldn't hear. But it wasn't just that. He said, oftentimes the spirit throws him into fire and throws him into water, trying to kill him. And Jesus said, how long has he had this? Now, when I read that, I thought, here's the all-knowing Lord. I mean, the disciples couldn't even have a conversation without him knowing what they were talking about, and him turning around and saying, I know what you're talking about. Amen. I heard it. Oh, I got to say something right here. Our prophetic giftings have been good. I thank God for it. I mean, I walk in it. I enjoy it. Last Wednesday night, I got to minister to people on a level that I haven't in a long time, and just speaking into people's hearts and revealing the Word of God and watching them break and having breakthroughs because of the Spirit of God revealing and opening up. And then all of a sudden they realize God's here. He knows who I am. He knows exactly where I'm at, and God cares. But our prophetic giftings have been very generalized. But there is a coming, there is an opening, there is a voice, there is a perfection that is going to start coming onto some of the prophets of God that are going to start revealing even the secrets spoken of in the chambers of the king, and we're going to know exactly what's being said. Hallelujah. God has not left us. He has not deserted us. He has not given us away. This thing, for years I've battled this thing. I have preached. God showed me that vision. That's why I got started talking on this. God showed me a vision several years ago, and I started preaching revival. I started preaching an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it was like I irritated the body of Christ in such a way. Pastors got so mad at me, and they would just get so mad they would shake. And they would say, there's not going to be a revival. There's a great falling away coming. And then the rapture's going to take place. There's not going to be any revival. And I'd say, well, I'm sorry, but I saw it. Amen. And I didn't get invited back. I don't know why. I went into one church, stirred things up in a big way, had an all, I mean, just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Sunday morning. Just a powerful outpouring. The whole church was touched by the power of God. People got saved. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was like an avalanche. The whole church is a large church, and the whole church fell forward. The aisles were full. In between the seats, there were people laying on the floor everywhere in this large church that hadn't. And I told them when I first got up, I said, there has not been a move of the Spirit of God in this church for over 5 years. You haven't. He hasn't even been close. You don't even know him. And we had an awesome move of the Spirit of God outpouring. After church, the pastor told me, he said, I want you to come by my house before church tonight at a certain time. And so I went by his house. I thought we were going to pray together for the night's service, you know. Whoa! I go in, it's an hour before church, he's stretched out in a recliner watching a football game. So I went in and I sat down there and we watched the football game. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we got, you know, church is going to start here anytime. We need to be getting ready. And finally he turned the TV off, sat up, and he said, son, I've got 2 years to retirement. And he said, I'm going to ride this church for 2 more years and I'm out of here. And I don't need some young gun coming in here and making trouble for me. I said, you mean God moving on your people made trouble for you? He said, look, I've already had one heart attack and he said, 2 more years and I'm out of here. And I said, you need to resign right now because you've already left. Amen. That's what I was up against for years. Pastors just vehemently telling me there's not going to be an outpouring of the Spirit. They fought on every hand, and they would say, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. And I just kept preaching, kept preaching, kept preaching. I got to tell you something. We are seeing an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before. There's a revival. Praise God. See, you got to understand, it's not that I'm right. He was right. He knew what he's going to do. Hallelujah. And he's doing it today. Praise God. Right in the middle of our destitute situation, right in the middle of our aches and our pains and our hurts and our disappointments and our dissatisfaction, right in the middle of our lukewarm attitude, right in the middle of our negligence of the presence of God, Jesus in his glistening garments is starting to walk down out of heaven and he's showing up. Hallelujah. Where people invite him, he is showing up and he's going to walk right into the middle of our desolate situation and going to bring glory and power and honor into this earth one more time. One more time we're going to see an amazing move of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This man knelt down before Jesus. And he said, if you can do anything, help me, help my son. And Jesus said, you say to me, if I can do anything. He said, if you believe, all things are possible. Anything's possible. What was Jesus saying? He said, it's not whether or not I want to do anything. He said, it's whether or not you're able to accept it. Now, we gotta back up here because a lot of times we get bad attitudes toward people in the Bible because we don't put ourselves in their situation. This father had raised a son that had constantly been just a challenge, and there was just this fight all the time. This demonic power trying to take over his son's life. And he had to save him from the fire over and over. He had to save him from the water over and over. And he even, no telling what he went through, because there was Jewish exorcists in that day. I mean, look at the seven sons of Sceva. They were professional Jewish exorcists that went around trying to free people that were demon possessed. And no telling how many times he had taken his son to the temples and taken his son places and got no hope. Why? Because he had never come in contact with the glistening, glowing power of Almighty God that come up and showed up in the present time. See, it's one thing for us to talk about Jesus in metaphorical illustrations and use illustrations to encourage and improve our lives somehow. But it's a whole nother thing to have an encounter with the real Jesus. Not an illustration, but a factual encounter. It'll scare you to death. I know that's not right terminology, okay? Amen. I'm not going to die this very minute because I said that. I'll say it like Daryl Friend used to say it. It'll scare you spitless. There you go. You ever been scared so bad you're spitless? Got the dry mouth? Come on, somebody. See, this man had history with this situation. History can be hard to overcome. Because when you've had history with a situation that's been ongoing, you have history of tried and failed. You have history of disappointments. You have a history of feeling like a failure. All this history is right there present all the time when you've been dealing with a need and a problem that seems like it's been ongoing and you haven't been able to get any help for. I've talked with parents with children that they hesitate even taking them to a church that believes in healing because the church has tried to heal them over and over and over, only to be discouraged and disappointed, and one more time they failed. Why is that? It's because we've tried to do heroic things. It's carnal attempts at spiritual heroism. We spend the whole week satisfying our flesh and then come in on Sunday morning and expect miracles to take place because it's in our doctrinal statement. I got to tell you something, don't matter what's in your doctrinal statement as much as it matters what has been in your life in the last week, in the last few days. It's the encounter with the presence of God. And all of a sudden, through all this disappointment, through all this failure, through all this history, the unbelief, the discouragement, the just being weary. Have you ever felt weary dealing with a situation? The failures over and over and over until you begin to develop a cynicism toward everything. And then people become critical. People in the church become critical. To protect our reputations, we say, we prayed for you and you didn't believe. That's why you didn't get healed. It's because of your lack of faith. That has been a prevalent statement in the last several years. It's because of your lack of faith you didn't get healed. I got to tell you something. God didn't call the church to go into the world and tell them, if you'll believe, we'll pray for you. He called us to do what he did. He would go and sit in the house, and everybody that come in, he prayed for, and they were healed. And that's where God wants to take us to. We are not there yet. We are on the precipice of beginning to press into the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get up here and try to shine my armor. I'm going to tell you that we are not there yet. but we're hungry. We're hungry. I want to see more. Hallelujah. I've seen some amazing answers to prayer in the last 2 weeks. I've seen some tremendous healings take place. I've seen some really good stuff happen, but I am not satisfied in any way, shape, or form, because I want to see a flow of the Spirit of God where people gather at the door and they come in, they funnel in, and one after another we minister to them. I got to tell you something, God wants to raise up healing and delivering teams in the body of Christ where we can minister to people as they come. We can pray for them and see God change their lives. Come on, somebody. I was praying about that this week. I said, God, I'm asking you to make some people so hungry to see healing that they can't stand it until they start just praying for people all the time. Amen. Don't think I can live another day if I don't see somebody healed. Hallelujah. I'm trying to think of the guy's name that started the prayer rooms, John G. Lake prayer rooms out in Seattle, Washington. And they fasted and prayed for a long time before they ever started that. And God directed every step. And there's just hundreds of people being healed as they come through there. And there was this one young lady, middle-aged lady, I don't remember how old she was, but she came through and she had AIDS. And they prayed for her for 7 months. They prayed for her every week for 7 months. Every week she would come and they would minister to her and pray for her. One day she went back to the doctor for some more blood tests, and the doctor came in and he said, I don't know what's going on. We need to take more blood. So they took more blood. And pretty soon the doctor came back in and he said the AIDS is not in remission. It's gone. He said, your body literally do not have AIDS anymore. Praise God. That just blows in the face of some of our faith. It's like, well, we pray for you one time, you ought to get healed. No, it's the body of Christ needs to pray. They prayed for this young lady for 7 months until a miracle took place and she was transformed and healed and delivered. Amen. There are so many like this dad that is crying out and saying, if somebody could just help me, if we could just have some hope, if there was just somewhere we could go where there was something that could happen, somebody that has been in touch with the glistening power of Almighty God, somebody that has the glow and Shekinah of heaven on them that can speak the word and my child be healed, speak the word and his cancer go, speak the word and the dead come back to life. There's somebody, people are calling out and crying in this nation. We have been so fixed on trying to do other things and trying to control this nation that we forgot that God has called us to heal this nation. This guy cried out. Jesus saw a crowd coming together. He was not looking for a show. He was not looking for, people to gather around and go ooh and all. He saw a crowd started coming together, and immediately he rebuked that spirit and commanded it to come out, and the boy was set free, and he fell as a dead, like he was dead. I've seen that happen so many times. Fell as if he was dead, and they said, you've killed him. Jesus walked over and grabbed his hand and pulled him up, and the boy got up. Hallelujah. I've seen people do that where when they were delivered, it didn't even look like they were breathing. I mean, it's like they're dead. And it's such a deliverance. It's such a peace that suddenly comes into their body. Hallelujah. And I don't know, boy, some of them have died. I don't know. But I know they get up. One year in India, we had them stacked up like cordwood over to the side. I mean, it was like they were dying. We was casting the spirits out of them, casting the demons out of them. The demons were screaming and yelling. I didn't know this, but I would tell them, come out in English, and they would scream back to me in their language and say, I'm not coming out. You can't make me come out. And I would just say, shut up and come out of them. And they would drop to the ground. And the pastors would drag them over, and pretty soon there were just people laying everywhere over here because they had been set free from demonic powers. Later they told me that they were talking, I didn't know what they were saying. Later they told me they were telling me they wouldn't come out. I'm glad I couldn't understand because I might have argued with them. But instead I just told them, just shut up. Amen. No, I'm not going to be polite. Amen. God is calling to us. He's calling to us as individuals. And he's saying, are you just interested in receiving something for yourself, or are you wanting to receive something to give out? Amen. Do we have something to give? Peter went to the temple. Peter and John went to the temple, and the man looked up and said, asked for money. And Peter said, I don't have any money. But what I've got, I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the ability to earn your own money. Hallelujah. I don't have money to give you, but I'm going to give you the ability to do it yourself. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was healed and went running and leaping into the temple, praising God. Hallelujah. Upset all the religious people. Amen. You know you're having a revival when religious people get mad at you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know you're having a revival when religious people get mad at you. You know, we think that we're ready. You know, I was talking to Brother Phil about this the other night because I gave him a word and said, you think at this age we'd be slowing down, but that's just not going to happen. Amen. Well, you know, that's not always what we want to hear. Amen. We'd be slowing down, and all of a sudden God starts talking about all the stuff he wants us to be doing. And we're saying, okay, thank God. And in some ways I'm saying, God couldn't, you know, I was 30 one time. That would have been an optimal time. I think God's saying, I wanted to wait until you couldn't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that how we feel? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Give us strength, God. Amen. Give us strength. Thank you, Father. Y'all ever get up early in the morning, getting ready to head for prayer meeting, and you really don't feel like going to prayer meeting? Y'all ever feel that way? Amen. Amen. I realize some of y'all got a whole lot more faith than I got, but sometimes when I get up, it's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. You ever feel that way? Come on, don't be lying to me. Some of y'all sitting there saying, I ain't claiming that. And yet we all hear you grunt when you get up. Come on, somebody. Don't be lying to us. Amen. I realized here a while back that I did that way too much when my 2-year-old granddaughter, every time she got up, she'd go, what are you doing? She was imitating me. Amen. I know y'all ain't that way, but you know, some of us hit too many immovable objects with their physical body. Amen. I've had too many impacts. Amen. Hallelujah. You hit another car at 60 mile an hour head on without a seatbelt on, and see if you don't have a little grunt and groaning going on when you get up. Amen. You get blown off a power pole, and your body being devastated by electricity. You can have a little problem. You can have a few problems. Amen. I've fell off things. I fell from power poles that was over 50 feet up and hit the ground so hard that my face hit the ground in between my feet. I mean, that's folding up. I can't even bend over and touch my knees. And this happened so many times I can't tell you. But some things happened, and next thing you know, I was falling. And I was way up, and I was falling, and I was doing like this, and I was thinking in my head, okay, get your feet apart. You don't want to gaff your other foot, You don't want to hit your face on your knees. And I was going through all this in my head as I'm going down, and I'm watching the ground come at me and thinking, okay, am I ready? Pow! I had my feet apart. I hit the ground. Don't know how this happened, but my face hit the ground between my feet. And then I just came out like a spring, like been in a spring. I flew up in the air and flipped backwards and landed on the ground. And laid there thinking, ow. That didn't feel very good. Hey, man. You ever hit your face so hard that you can't feel it? That's hard. Hey, man. I kept doing like this thinking, is it there? Is it? But God, a lot of times, brings us to the point. I could wear you out with stories like that. Sister Betty could tell them better than I can because she's had to live through it. Amen. She's had to put me back together so many times. Resurrect me. Amen. She has resurrected me so many times, it's unreal. A lot of times, God waits until we are incapable of some of the things. And there's churches full. I'm closing. There's churches full of people right now that are my age and older that think we're done. But God is about to take a bunch of us old dry bones and make us live again. Amen. Oh, some of y'all should. Even if you can't get up out of your seat, you should have shouted right there. Amen. You should have at least went, whoop. Glory. Because dry bones are about to live again, and God's calling some generals back into the army. Amen. We might have thought, but the colonels and the generals might have thought they were retired, but God's calling us back up into service and saying, okay, it's time. It's time. It's time. Amen. I need some moms and dads to teach the young ones. I need some moms and dads to lead the force and lead people into battle. Praise God. We are not finished, is what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Glory. I want to get past my history of how hard it's been. I want to get past my discouragement of how many times I've tried. I want to get past my disappointment of how many times I've failed. I want to get past the weariness of how long it's been. I know what it's like to be in the cave with Elijah and saying, God, just take me home. I'm done. Just take me home. That's what Elijah was saying. And God said, oh, son, I've got a whole bunch of people that I've been preparing. And Elijah came out of the cave with oil and a mantle and a commission. And he began to anoint He began to declare, and things started happening. We're in that day. We're in that day. Stand with me today if you would. Hallelujah. This man cried out and said, Lord, I believe, but help my weakness. Help my unbelief. Help my inability to come up to where I need to be in my faith. And instead, Jesus came down to where he was and answered his cry. Hallelujah. God's coming down to where we're at to answer our cry. Amen. Praise God. You know, I just realized that I've preached a message on saying, God, make this church miserable. Please don't take it out on each other. But God's calling us. God's calling us up. God's pulling at our hearts. And that pull is going to get heavier and heavier and heavier in the days ahead. I believe we are heading into a time of manifestation of the presence of God. And we've got to get ourselves ready for that time of manifestation. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your glory. Thank you for your power. Lord, I thank you for the people that gather here at this sanctuary. Lord, I thank you for the people that you've pulled together, Lord God. And many that are not here today, Lord God, that are part of this, part of what you're doing. Father, I ask you to energize the body of Christ today. I ask you to call the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Father, help us to see the cloud and get up and say, that's it, let's go. Father, I thank you that there's redemption coming. I thank you that Ahab and Jezebel is about to be thrown down. Father, I thank you, Father God, that there's anointed people. You are anointing people to make that happen. But Father, there's a revival coming to the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for the move of the Spirit of God that's happening in the body of Christ today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Lord, I thank you, God, the passion would fill our hearts. You would fill us, Lord God, with who you are. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for, God, you, the direction that you're given. Lord, I'm just amazed at how quickly it's happening right now. But Father, we receive it, we accept it, and we say yes. We say yes. Hallelujah. We say yes, Lord.